I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. Time to go on the money with Chris DiSimeo.
Interesting week on Wall Street. Volatility reigning supreme. The market down 265 points on Monday, up 157 on Tuesday, down over 100 again on Wednesday. Thursday morning, first-time claims for unemployment, not enough to bail the market out, and they just continue to struggle throughout the week. There are some things, though, behind the scenes that are happening in the financial services industry that are game changers. And one of them is a new regulatory agency, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB. And joining us in the studio are Michael Hurley and David Pepper, attorneys with the law firm of Blank Rome here in Cincinnati. They will be sponsoring a special event to discuss what the CFPB is and what it does. There'll be a link to that from the WVXU.org website. But let's talk today about just what exactly the CFPB is and what it means for investors. And gentlemen, thanks for taking part of your weekend to be with us.
Thank you for having
us. Good to be here.
Yeah. Why do we need, this is a new regulatory agency then, the CFPB. What exactly is it and what does it do?
Well, I'll kick off. I mean, basically, and we had the Great Recession and the housing crisis, and that was sort of the impetus for the agency. You know, there had been a lot of talk about the need to do some reforms and increase transparency and protect consumers before that. But that crisis was so stark and exposed certain practices in such a way that I think in Congress they finally pushed through something. And so what the CFPB does is it really becomes sort of the cop on the beat to protect consumers from certain practices. Before the CFPB, you had all sorts of agencies out there, but no single agency had it as its mission to protect consumers. And the CFPB, that's what its mission is, and it does it in all sorts of ways, whether it's enforcement or transparency or education of consumers. But there's now an agency that's out there that its sole mission is to protect consumers from all sorts of financial services practices and to educate consumers on those.
This agency then is now up and running because it was kind of theoretical. It was go, no go, start, no start, but it's now up and running?
Correct. It is up and running. There's talk on the Hill right now. The recess appointment of Richard Cordray in January of 2012, there was a Supreme Court case that overruled President Obama's appointment of some National Labor Relations Board members that were done the same day as Cordray's appointment, and a circuit court ruled that those were unconstitutional. So there's lots of parallels between that. Right now there's talk in Congress regarding trying to restructure the agency. But as it stands right now, the agency over 2012 has been quite active. It's ramped up to an employment level of over 1,000 people.
Okay.
It is engaged in some enforcement actions against various financial entities, one of the largest of which was against American Express, which resulted in a hundreds of million dollar settlement, which was remitted back to some consumers that that American Express allegedly harmed and through their practices in issuing credit cards. And currently, it is promulgating regulations, enforcing, as Dave said, it brought under the purview of it 17 enumerated federal consumer protection laws. 17 separate laws governing everything from credit cards to mortgage origination to mortgage servicing. And now the primary focus of those laws as they speak towards consumer protection are under the purview of the Bureau.
Yeah, because, you know, in the world of money, there are so many acronyms. There's the SEC. There's the Financial Industry National, FINRA. Yeah. There are state regulatory agencies. Where does the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, where are they on the organizational chart then in terms of who outranks whom and where should consumers turn if they have difficulty?
On the regulatory chart, as far as federal, it assumed anything relating to consumer protection from what we would call the prudential regulators, your FINRAs, your Office of the Comptroller of the Consumer,
okay.
What used to be the Office of Thrift Supervision, which was
OTS,
which was axed by the Dodd-Frank. So seven prudential regulators, they assumed consumer protection from them.
Okay.
But supervision and examination of banking entities and other entities that deal in consumer finance is a mixed bag. So $10 billion in assets is kind of the cutoff.
$10 billion.
If you're $10 billion and bigger, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau will oversee and examine your entity. If you're smaller, the supervision and examination stayed with the regulator that previously regulated that entity, but they work in conjunction with the Bureau.
Yeah.
So and then also in that, a large part of the CFPA, the act that created the Bureau, gave a lot of interplay between state agencies and the CFPB. So
interesting. Yeah, I mean, there was 30 years ago, there was an article that I'll never forget. It was in the Business Week before Bloomberg bought Business Week, and it talked about how there were 50 different state regulatory insurance agencies, but yet a lot of the insurance industry players were happy to keep it that way. And it mentioned that they were so outmanned and outgunned that some of them actually had like a flag that still had 49 stars on it in the office. To what extent does this new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau then kind of tip the scales, at least level the playing field back in favor of the consumers?
Well, that's a point of contention now amongst – people are trying to figure that out. It's a new agency that with this sole goal to protect consumers. And to the extent that the Bureau is not having direct supervision and examination over an entity or over a practice, the law is written so that they can interact closely with state attorneys generals on the enforcement side and state regulators on the supervision side to provide them backup and resources.
Okay.
So to the extent you're not directly interacting with the Bureau, you might still be because there'll be a backstop to these previously, as you said, undermanned state bodies.
Now, you mentioned that there were about 1,000 people working at
yes.
the CFPB now?
And the president's budget that he just released envisions it increasing to 1,700 in the next year or so.
Are they all in Washington, D.C., or are there regional physical locations?
There are regional physical locations, but those, to the best of my knowledge, are only for the supervision and supervision area. So
okay.
they'd be dealing with industry members as opposed to consumers.
So for the most part, then, they're actually in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
What's interesting, though, is the leadership of the CFPB is basically Ohio. Richard Cordray, the former attorney general.
And wasn't he the treasurer also at
yeah,
one
Yeah, he
point?
Was a treasurer. He was the attorney general. And you know, he's going through kind of a tough time right now over his appointment. Most people have all spoken up that he's a good guy, smart guy. That battle's a lot more about the structure and about the battle over whether or not the CFPB should exist at all. But another key guy who's his deputy in a way is Kent Marcus, who is also a guy who's worked in Ohio for a long time and worked for Governor Strickland as his chief lawyer. So although it's in D.C., you got a lot of Ohio connections to the leadership of the CFPB. And you know, Rich Cordray established his reputation as especially Attorney General taking on a lot of Wall Street and protecting consumers. So obviously the president saw fit that he'd be a good fit there.
You know, it's, when you think about this kind of was thought of as something that was tied to Elizabeth Warren somehow. Right. And many years ago, Elizabeth wrote a book that I was able to talk with her about called The Two Income Trap. And it was kind of a look inside why consumers got in trouble in the first place. And it dug into the underlying reasons behind this, and it's still a very meaningful book, The Two Income Trap. As we worked our way through this great recession, you know, a lot of it almost feels in a way that the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, was reactionary. Why didn't this kind of thing happen? Before the Great Recession?
Well, I think as I was saying at the very beginning, there were folks like her and others who've been theorizing in academic institutions about these changes for a long time. But as we all know, Washington works at its own pace, and it wasn't until the recession and some of the highlight of some practices where consumers felt duped or misled or walked into bad deals that I think, you know, folks obviously took up her work and others. And I think Michael will tell you, this reflects a lot of what she had been talking about years before, which is one reason it's a hot potato, because what she was writing about and proposing was pretty controversial. Now it's in law and remains that way. But I think that was the impetus to take what had been theory before and put it into practice.
Yeah, the CFPB's website, it's cfpb.gov. And again, there'll be a link to that from the WVXU website. Your firm at Blank Rome is sponsoring an event. Tell us what that's about.
Basically, it's an informational event. A lot of people aren't aware. It's only a two-year-old entity. Since we work with a lot of industry members, a lot of the people we've reached out to that have before this not been regulated on the federal level are concerned about what's actually going to happen and what it means for their relationships with their clients, the consumers here. And so we saw that there was a need out there to kind of explain what's going on exactly, the status of the law, and where we are at now. So it's meant to be as an overview, a kind of a 10,000-foot overview of what happened, where we're at now, and what we can expect kind of in the future for where the regulatory body's going because it's such a new entity.
And also, you know, how they might begin to strategize on how to navigate the new agency, what's coming down the pike, make sure that they understand. And we find that a lot of folks assume that they don't have an interest in this when many, many more do than realize it. I mean, this really is taking over so many different areas that a whole lot of businesses and industries who don't know much about it and don't know that they need to know much about it, they need to quick and get educated on it, and that's part of what we're trying to explain to folks.
Yeah, so there'll be a link again to that from the WVXU.org right. website, and as you point out, these are the rules of the road, the law of the land, and so we better learn them now before you need them.
Absolutely.
Mike Hurley and David Pepper from the law firm of Blank Rome in Cincinnati, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Chris DeSimio on The Money.